Let's go, baby!
It's time for the Return of the Empire podcast. 1 hour of all things red and gold.
Return of the Empire.
Here are your hosts, Sacktown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Yes, sir. Back again. Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield. Return of the Empire. Let me tell you, Nate, the Empire struck back real hard this weekend. Let me just say that right there.
What's up, Dallas? What's up? What happened? Oh, you got humble.
Laugh now, cry later.
Cry now, cry later. Whatever, Micah. I don't know. I like Micah Parsons, but what he said, man, is crazy.
We're going to get into that, absolutely. But again, it's Return of the Empire, Return of the Empire podcast here on Sacktown Sports. Live show during the season, 6-7 every Tuesday to recap all Niners content here on Sacktown Sports. Nate Littlefield, Emil Fragoso, Kyle Ledbetter on the ones and twos back there. And boys, it was a coming out party for the Niners. Not that they needed it, because the Niners are already really, really good. They're already 4-0. But they made a statement against Dallas and in a way that I didn't even expect. We both had it. It's going to be a close game, like the playoffs, 24-17, 24-20. You know, it's going to come down to one possession. Nah, this game was over at like halftime. This is ridiculous. I mean, what are your thoughts, Nate, honestly?
Dallas, I think their offense is just too conservative. I know the Niners are a good team, but they just the fear they have of moving the ball, I don't know what that is. But when Dak tried to do it, it didn't work because he threw three interceptions. So they're in disarray. They took the game really personally coming into it.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work out in their favor.
It was a
beatdown. It was a brutal beatdown. And once they got in a hole, they could not dig out of it. So, and I think for both of their losses this year, that's kind of what's happening. They get down a bit and they can't get out of it. So, and that's something the Niners really haven't been in yet.
Yeah.
They've been down this season. They were down to the Rams, right? The Rams ever?
I think they did. Yeah, I think for a second they did.
Yeah, but it was a close game, but that is something I still am waiting to see out of this 49ers team and out of Mr. Best quarterback in the NFL, MVP favorite, Brock Purdy. But I am looking forward to seeing kind of a comeback. See how they deal with that, essentially. Like being down 10 to 14, how does the offense run? What are Kyle's playmaking decision or play calling decisions? How do they run the ball? What kind of throws are they deciding to make? But I'm also very, very happy when they're winning by a lot. It makes me happy.
And oh, does
they,
it?
Yeah, when they beat Dallas by a lot, I get really happy.
To answer your question, Nate, the 49ers have trailed for 1 minute and 45 seconds.
That's okay. Literally a minute. A minute and like a half. That's crazy. That's like.
Was it to the Cardinals, though?
No, it was the Rams.
It was the Rams, I thought. Rams. Yeah. It was in the second quarter.
Okay. They were up like 14-0 on the Cardinals.
Okay. That game was over so quickly. You're right. And then kind of every game, it feels like it's been over so quickly, except for that Rams game. I mean, I don't even know what to do with this team. You kind of felt early on that it was going to be the Niners' day when Brock Purdy scrambled out to his right, avoided the pressure, just threw an absolute laser to George Kittle in the back of the end zone. I mean, what a beauty pass, beauty play. Mm. And the vibe around Levi's all day was a big, big game. You could feel the electricity in the stadium. You could feel that this was a game worth being at, worth being a part of. There were celebrities everywhere. Vernon Davis was there. Frank Gore was on the field. Olivia Culpo was down there, of course. I mean, there were people everywhere.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the Niners said, it's nothing like anything else. It's just another game for us, another week for us, and they took care of business.
I'm so happy that Brock Purdy did that on primetime. It's nice for everyone to see. Yeah, it's great. And then he went from 6 touchdowns to 10 touchdowns in one game.
Yep.
No interceptions yet. He did have the fumble in week one, but that was fine. It was TJ Watt. It happens.
It's okay.
But we're talking about Kittle's catch. Kittle with the awesome shout out to Gary Plummer. His shirt.
Yeah.
His shirt is a reference to
Bleak
a shirt,
Dallas.
Yeah, that Gary Plummer wore, I believe, in the 94 NFC Championship when the Niners went to the Super Bowl. Pretty cool stuff to see. Micah Parsons didn't like it. He said that was personal. Debo said it was personal beforehand, which I got to side with my guy, Debo Samuel, on that.
He did.
Very personal, wild. This Niners team just is shockingly good. It's crazy how good they are.
Yeah. And I really feel like, especially, well, the Niners are really, really good. Yes. This is really more of an indictment on where Dallas is at, because Dallas went into this game saying, we're number one defense. We're going to stop them. This is the year we're going to get them. We're finally going to get them here. Jonathan Hankins had all these quotes coming out beforehand. And the defense got plastered, 42 points, plastered by the Niners on the road in a game that you kind of had to win. You're now 3-2 on the season and kind of had to make a statement here to keep up with the Eagles. Nope, didn't happen. Dallas made it maybe too personal for them. They got too wrapped up in the emotions of the recent losses in the playoffs. The Niners, like a well-oiled machine, to just go at it every single day and beating the same drum.
It's nice. And I keep saying it, but
there's something else to say. Yeah,
I mean, I think the Cowboys got in their head, their own head a bit. Yeah. I think they're dealing with some sports psychology issues. I think Dak Prescott is. I don't necessarily think he sucks like some other ex-49ers think.
That was something else.
That was crazy to say. But they got some work to do for sure. I don't think. I mean, can they make the playoffs? Yes. They're not going to be number one in their division. You know, they're not going to beat out the Eagles, I don't think. Speaking of the Eagles, the Rams didn't do us any favors this weekend.
No.
Us, like, I play on the team. Emotionally, I do. Mentally, I'm on the field every Sunday. Mentally, I'm on the field. But, I want to talk about Fred Warner, too.
Yeah.
Because I'm glad he did that in primetime as well. Dre. I'll mention Dre's sack first. The sack he had on Prescott. Dude. And then he threw the dice, the craps game. That was so sick. But Fred having a forced fumble, an interception finally, and a sack on Dak where he like jumped in his face and like scared him, brought him down. I want to talk about the forced fumble for a second.
Yeah.
I heard from Whitey yesterday that the team actually practices getting a fumble near the sideline.
Correct.
Where that was an Oren Burks.
That was Kevin Givens.
Kevin Givens who grabbed it on the sideline. It's another thing, and I mentioned it before on the show. So many weird things like that are going the Niners' way. Mm-hmm. Like balls bouncing weird spots, like off players, we're getting lucky. So things are going good, and I'm happy about it. And I know it's early, but I'm happy about it.
And to give you perspective on that play, exactly, they do practice that. They have a little drill they do with linebacker coach Johnny Holland, and they kind of go at each player. They simulate it, obviously, tackle, and then they kind of just punch it, and they punch, and they punch. And that's each person does that in a line. And then they'll roll the ball on the ground, kind of like spinning weird ways, and literally they'll just have the guys like go grab it. And it's stuff like that. It's situational awareness in practice is why it works so well in the games. Why a guy like Kevin Givens, who was a defensive tackle and a rotational one at that, not a starter, was able to make a play like that and keep the ball in bounds. Yes, it took a great lucky bounce to stay in for sure, but the player has to make a play, and Kevin Givens made a play and stayed in bounds before rolling out to secure that football, and that's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, and that was right after McCaffrey's weird fumble, right?
Oh, it was weird.
Where it was basically he donated it to the Cowboys on the one, which you're probably not going to see too much out of him, but he was slowed down. He was under 3 yards a carry.
Yeah.
This game, he took some big shots. Jordan Mason got a lot of run, which was great because after that touchdown, early in the fourth, Niners kind of rolled out. Mm-hmm. Second team, Sam Darnold got some run, which was fun. Didn't throw the ball or didn't have a completion. I don't think
he did one completion
was
for 1 yard
screen. Yeah. So I wanted to see some more Darnold.
Great day, Sam.
Get to throw it. Yeah, yeah. Because that was the biggest offseason thing. We were talking about it every single day. And then Trey got moved, and you're like, okay, what's Sam got? But
it seems so far away that conversations were happening. I mean, that was only September. We had those talks. It's October or August. Honestly, it was like we were having these talks about
the talks in September. Still,
we were.
I'm sure we would. We definitely were. Yeah.
But that's the point. Is that this team? And I've said this all along. Despite their offseason full of drama and speculation, if this team just balled out the first few weeks of the season, all would be forgiven. And boy, howdy, have they balled out. And now no one's talking about the quarterback controversy because guess what? Brock Purdy is the new sheriff in town, boy.
Yeah, and then you got guys like Steven Ruiz doing those clickbait articles.
Do that.
So salty. All you Niner fans, so salty.
Well, it's just a weird thing to say.
I'm salty because of the Cowboys fans that are telling me that Brock Purdy's system quarterback.
Yeah.
On Friday night.
Well,
I'm tired of hearing this.
It's okay. I'm salty. I'll be salty about that, I guess. I mean, privileged guy, privileged team, you know. But seeing Brock ranked 25 hurt, and that's why it sticks out. But sports talk, we got to talk about it, Kyle. You can't, you know, it's out there, big thing.
It's so silly.
It is silly. So it is, silly. And it's four clicks, and it's whatever.
I hope Steven Ruiz leans into it and just becomes wrestling heel of the Niners. Well,
if Steven Ruiz leans into it and the Niners win the Super Bowl, he's out of a job, bud.
That's true. I forgot. Yeah,
he's out of a job.
He's gonna quit. he's gonna quit his job or reporting on Just Football. Correct? Yeah. Yeah, so shout out to him. Steven, we'd love to have you on.
Yeah. we would actually. That'd be great.
I'm happy the Niners controlled time of possession. This is something we talked about last week, how the defense it's a weird situation where the defense gets tired when the offense is scoring too quickly. Mm-hmm. But this week, Niners time of possession on offense, 37 minutes, 5 seconds versus Dallas's 22 and 55 seconds.
Yeah.
That is domination.
It's a lot.
That's Dallas just not having the ball to do anything.
That's almost a whole quarter.
Yeah, that's absolutely brutal.
Yeah. Everything that you would want the Niners to do in a game, they did. And, well, yes, they gave up 10 points. So, boo-hoo, they gave up 10 points. They got a drive. It's okay. You know, mistakes happen. This team just continues to amaze even me when I cover them day in and day out. Like, the things they do are crazy. And their mentality of just, we got to be perfect. We got to be better. We got to be better. Like, you saw the post game. You saw what Brock Purdy and Fred Warner were saying in the post game.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, it's just one game at a time. We're just gonna, you know, it's about us, not them.
Well, it's so funny that they had all three of them in the Sunday Night Football post game. They had Brock, George, and Fred.
Yes.
And it's Brock gives the answer. They asked Brock, hey, you know, how was your performance? How do you feel about the rest of the league? All this stuff, you know, like the generic, like, and you know the answer you're going to get from most sports guys that are kind of out there, players specifically.
Yeah.
Where he gives the classic, like, oh, team one day at a time, all that stuff. And then she goes, oh, I knew I was going to get that answer. And George goes, you're going to get that answer from all of us. We're all going to say that because we genuinely all feel like that.
Yes.
I believe it.
There, it's a team sport. This is what makes the Niners so different from other teams, is that they play for each other. They don't play for themselves. There's no egos on this team. And that's so hard to do on such a talent-loaded roster that there are no egos. It's all about winning football. It's so rare to see. You never see really scuffles with players, ever. I never see one in practice. There's never a fight with anyone. It's all about how do we make each other better every single day, each day in and out.
Okay, I got to ask you about something. You were on Dave's show this morning, or the morning show today?
No.
Okay, well, did you say that the deal with the George. So Micah Parsons said that it got personal with the George Kittle thing, right?
Yes.
Did you say that it was just business or that was personal? Because I heard that him wearing the shirt and taunting, playing into the crowd and everything was just business.
I didn't say that, but it was definitely personal.
Yeah,
it was
definitely
personal. It wasn't just business. Okay, that was personal. Okay.
I just heard a rumor about that. And I wanted to ask you on air just to make sure we could clarify that situation because it's personal now with Dallas.
I mean, business is booming, but it's definitely personal. Let me tell you right there.
It's a personal one-way street, and I'm starting to feel like it's not divisional, so it's a little different. But when Seattle was beating up on the Niners every year from like 2014 to 2018, this is how I was feeling. I was feeling like Dallas in this situation where the Niners just cannot get over the hump. They played Seattle like six times and beat them once. And it's so tough and it's so demoralizing when you get to that week and you're like, oh, we got to play Seattle. It's a Seattle week. And it just gets out of hand and you feel like you can't do anything. So I think Dallas is really in that position where they have no answer for the 49ers. But I think good news is they probably won't play the Niners again this year.
You never know in the playoffs. You never really know.
You never know, but
never know.
I think they're going to – Niners are going to be gunning for that first round bye.
They are.
It's going to come down to them and the Eagles, it's looking like. We don't know what's going to happen.
Week 13 is a big, big matchup for that.
There's so many things out of our control or out of the team's control, with missing games or whatever. Yeah. But it's really on track to come down to that Niners-Eagles first round break, and it's going to be really important. Niners also have a good spot for their bye, kind of middle of the schedule.
Same as last year, week 9.
Yeah. So it's the year before spot. That, it was week 4, and I hate that.
I don't even know if they're doing week 4 anymore.
They did week 5.
Did they get rid of week 4?
I didn't see any week four.
Oh, week five is what I meant.
Yeah, so, I thought it was week five.
There were four last
week.
Week five sucks, though, to have your bye.
No, it's the worst time to have your. You don't want an early bye. You want a later bye.
And we're at Niners Plains Tees playing someone who's coming off their week five bye this next week.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that after the break. But before we get to the break, we got to do a little bit of Brock Purdy. We got to do a little Brock Purdy.
A little more?
A little more Brock Purdy, because we haven't given him his flowers.
Have we not?
No, I haven't. Being pretty nice. I haven't, because I'm tired of this. I am tired of the system quarterback talks.
ISO clear out.
And I have a minute to do this. So let's do it. I'm tired of this. Brock Purdy is not a system quarterback. Whatever you want to call him. Bot Purdy, Glock Purdy, BCB. Look that one up. Whatever you want to call this guy, a robot, a man, myth, legend, I don't care. Brock Purdy is a damn good football player, and it's about time you give him his respect. He's a top 10 quarterback playing in the NFL right now, and it's ridiculous. Otherwise, he hasn't thrown a pick all season, and he leads the NFL in QBR. I get it. He's got talent everywhere, but this guy is for freaking real. Take him for freaking real, everyone, and everyone in the national with 26 million people, the most watched game, I believe, of the year. Take him for real. Brock Purdy, 23 years old, me and Nate's age, is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
I'm a little older. Older than Brock Purdy, but
similar.
I'm not scared to admit that.
Similar, but you know,
I look like I'm 14.
Gen Z taking over.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's all I got. That's all I have. And I had to explain to Dallas fans on Friday, and they learned really quick on Sunday. We got to go to break. We're going to talk about the upcoming game, obviously, very, very shortly here. And then we're going to talk about some other stuff. And of course, Niners add Randy Gregory. We got to do that too.
Oh,
that's true.
Rich get richer.
Rich get richer. But
also,
again,
come harass us in the YouTube chat during the break.
Absolutely.
We stay live on YouTube. Ask us anything.
Ask us anything. But
anything.
Again, going to break right now. Sacktown Sports, Turn of the Empire. Milford Ghost and Nate Littlefield. We'll be back in a minute.
All right. We're live on YouTube.
Hi, YouTube.
Oh, we're coming in hot today, dude.
Yeah. Do we have any chicken questions in the YouTube this week?
I don't see anything.
No, I know, dude. No chicken questions.
There's no chicken questions. Kyle, so where's Tin?
I was looking at this, not realizing that it's like 15 seconds behind. I saw you waving like something was happening, and that's why I turned around and waved at you.
I was so confused. I was like, did you forget to switch your headphones to the right setting or something? I was totally, what's happening?
No, I totally.
There's
totally
Tin.
Oh, what's up, Tin?
Shout out, Tin.
Tin, are you a big football guy? That's a question. You know, I don't know, because Tin's always talking about the Kings, and me and Tin were talking about teaming up for a 2-on-2 basketball league and just doing some damage. But, I don't know.
I think Tin can definitely get buckets with you. Yeah. Tin can definitely get some buckets.
I told you guys, did we recap my Universal trip?
I don't think we did.
It was good. I got to mention the Mummy ride.
Ooh.
Well, I went to Mario World and that was cool.
Was it cool?
I'm like a 14 or 10 year old. But I went on the Mummy ride and you get to the end. It's like a roller coaster. There's like bugs crawling on the wall. And then
like real ones?
Well, no, it's like projected.
I don't like bugs.
And then what they do is they blow air on your legs. So it feels like there's bugs crawling up you. Mm-mm. And it was so scary. Mm-mm. It was like us being violated. It was awful.
It was like us being violated.
This was the highlight of your trip.
It's just the thing that stuck out the most to me.
Oh, yeah, because you got poked by some bugs?
Dude, it was so creepy. It made me so uncomfortable. But I got pretty motion sickness on like the ride broke down on Harry Potter. And I started to get scared. And then I got so motion sick, I couldn't even be scared anymore.
Did you yak on the ride?
No.
Good for you.
I had got the butter beer after. That was good.
Ooh.
Which is just like a cream soda float.
Yeah.
Harry Potter world. Yeah.
Shout out Harry Potter world.
Shout out Kayla.
Shout out Kayla.
Kayla, we love you here.
Kyle, is anyone you want to shout out?
Yeah.
Shout out to Micah Parsons. Yeah. That's a little shout out today.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's kind of butthurt. Is he not, Kyle?
I don't know. I never take what someone says within like 24 hours of a beatdown seriously. Like it's the people who like tweet after losing in the moment. I'm like, just don't do that. Like, remember Lamar Jackson got on the tweets like right after a loss one time and was just like going ape on Twitter.
Yeah. Like, Lamar's got like, look, social media is a powerful tool that can be used for good and bad. And that's the bad side of it, unfortunately. Athletes should not go on social media after a bad performance.
But if you have a good performance like Jamar Chase and post 7-11 on your Twitter right after torching the Cardinals, excellent.
Excellent work.
10 seconds till we're back.
Sounds good.
Shout out Debo Samuel.
Shout out Debo. Shout out
chat. You have rejoin our audio, right? Yeah.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Purdy under center, 2x2 tight formation. McCaffrey 8 yards deep. Purdy going to send Debo in motion left. They give it to McCaffrey off the left side. McCaffrey on the goal line. Touchdown! CMC!
Touchdown, CMC. You've heard that a lot recently yet because it's 14 straight games for Christian McCaffrey. He's getting a touchdown. I mean, he's already broken the franchise record, but now he's on pace to possibly break Emmitt Smith's record for most, including playoffs, all time for anybody. And if he does that, CMC for MVP?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's just the way the league works.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he might be the most valuable player. But this is a debate a lot of times that you have in the NBA more, yeah, where it's like, you know, best player on the best team kind of thing. So is he? Yeah, probably. I mean, like Trent Williams, and you see what Trent did to freaking Van Der Esch, like Parsons, and you're like, all right,
Trent's a man.
They don't win with
that. They don't call him silver back for nothing. That dude is crazy.
God, he's so awesome. He's so well spoken too. I love listening to him talk.
Trent's
he's so knowledgeable.
Great interview. Yeah. One of the better interviews, actually. Like, he is so thoughtful in his answers and what he talks about. Like, when we learned over the summer that he started his offseason workouts at 3 a.m. in the Houston gyms, we were like, whoa. Like, this guy is 35, going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best left tackles of the last 25 years. And this guy, in the later stages of his career, is still getting up at 3 a.m. and working out. Crazy. It's crazy.
Will it be the Bengals game he gets the record being asked in the YouTube chat? I don't know. Is that not Emmitt's record?
I'm trying to think. It's 17. I believe it's 17.
So he's at 14 now.
So he's at 14 now. So week six, it's 15.
Cleveland, Minnesota, Bengals.
Yes, it would be Bengals. You tie it. Cool. He would break it after the bye.
Yeah, which I'm here for it.
Yeah, it's very possible. Obviously, knock on wood, he stays healthy and, you know, gets to that spot. That's obviously the priority over him, over the records. But it'd be really cool to see if he could do that. And it'd be really cool to see if Brock Purdy could also tie Ben Roethlisberger record of 15 straight.
So he would break it against the Jaguars.
Correct. That is correct. Thank you, Kyle.
This would be the game pass. Yeah. Okay. We got to talk about the Niners new edition because they got a new toy.
New edition.
And they just add to that brutal defensive line. They got Randy Gregory, who was with Dallas for 5 years, Denver for 2 years. They got him for basically nothing.
For free.
They sent a 7th round pick, sent a 6th round pick.
Correct.
They get a 7th back and Randy Gregory from Denver. Yes. And Denver's basically paying his entire contract.
Yes.
So the Niners, $41 million that they have, not even really touched.
They're paying
all
the vet men.
So they still have money to make a move. Like you've been predicting all year, basically all summer, that you think Elijah Mitchell's on his way out.
It's possible.
I personally think Elijah needs to get healthy and play, get a few games under his belt where he looks fine right now for a team to reach for Elijah Mitchell and grab him, a running back needy team.
Yeah.
Which, I you look at teams like Baltimore, it's more desperate teams. Not the Colts anymore. They got it figured out. Zach Moss looked awesome for them, and JT's kind of getting back on track. But
what a story that is.
I think I'm getting on board with your Elijah Mitchell trade because Jordan Mason looks more complete than he ever has.
He's got that speed they didn't have last year. Is that breakaway speed? Like when he made that cut for 26 yards to the end zone and got untouched, he didn't have that burst last year. He was definitely a bruiser and could go downhill, but the acceleration that he has now is definitely a part of the second year offseason workouts he's been doing and really putting in that work and that effort. You know, finishing the day 10 for 69, one tutty in relief is very, very good for Jordan Mason, who they call the closer. JP Mason, the closer.
He is. I hope he gets more touches.
I hope that too.
I know some people are like, why not feed CMC? I know Whitey's kind of like that. He, you know, you have the guy, feed him. Don't worry about usage rate. I do worry about it. I do worry about it. He took some big shots in Dallas. He's elite and he's unstoppable and he opens up the game for everyone else. Like, look at George. Look at what Ayuk's been doing lately, just getting open down the field. Brock's been getting the ball. It's been great. We saw some more Debo at running back, too, in Dallas, like traditional running back.
Yeah.
Which he definitely runs different when he's running up the middle. He looks less like a running back when he has the ball going between the tackles.
Yes.
It's It's definitely not his position.
He's not a running back.
No, he's not.
He's an offensive weapon.
He's an offensive weapon for sure. I don't know how I feel about putting him up the middle. I'm not totally against it, but it's weird to see. It's a little uncomfortable, but we didn't really even get into Randy Gregory.
No,
how do you feel about that?
Yeah, Randy Gregory, man, this is a guy, and I've been saying it for a couple of days now. This is a high caliber role player for them. This is someone on the scope of, you know, Charles Omenihu, you know, Arden Key. You think of all the guys they've added and gotten under Chris Kocurek to have, you know, reclamation projects over the years. This is the cream of the crop of all of them. Randy Gregory signed a 5-year, $80 million deal, I believe, like 2 years ago. This is a guy that Dallas coveted and loved because of his speed. And then Denver wanted to add him because of his speed. And he was, you know, had the suspension in 2019, struggled with some injuries, been on and off the field. If he can just stay healthy and get right under Chris Kocurek, the sky's the limit for this guy, because that speed is clearly still there, despite being almost age 31.
Yeah, and I've heard too, he's not the kind of guy the Niners would normally go after. I would like to clarify, his suspension was for substance abuse too.
Yes.
It wasn't anything, you know, super egregious.
No.
Which is nice, because the Niners really don't deal with that anymore. They really made it a point early on in this Shanahan Lynch era that they don't mess around. They gave Reuben Foster his chance.
It's why I didn't bring back Charles Omenihu.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. That's a great point. Because that Harbaugh era got pretty nasty at the end there when it came to off the field stuff. A lot of those guys got into some issues. But Randy Gregory, I think when you're around this kind of a locker room like this, that's just in on the game and so in, and when you know your team is this good, I think you're more willing to sacrifice maybe lifestyle choices. But yes, that really hasn't been the issue for him lately.
It's been injuries. As long as he can stay healthy, he'll be fine. And Randy Gregory now know his new number. He's been number 5, which last was worn by Trey Lance. So we have a new number 5 now in the Bay Area.
Who wasn't very helpful to Dallas's.
No, he wasn't. Hopefully, you know, Randy Gregory more helpful than the Niners, though.
Yes, that's true.
That's the hope.
Well, Trey was helpful for the Niners, I guess. He might have told Dallas the wrong plays.
I don't know what he told Dallas, but look, Randy Gregory's here now. Randy Gregory is very, very good. And I think that him opposite of Nick Bosa, opposite of Drake Jackson, opposite of Eric Armstead, Javon Hargrave, Javon Kinlaw, just all the talent. You can never have enough edge rushers. And his skill set is such speed related that it's going to help Bosa's power strength. Yeah. Because Bosa's not going to get double teamed much anymore, because you can't double team a guy when Randy Gregory's on the other side wreaking havoc. Because Randy Gregory is still talented enough to get to the quarterback every single play.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited to see. You think he'll play against Cleveland?
Limited snaps, but he is. Update on Randy Gregory. He flew in yesterday. He's meeting with Chris Kocurek today. Today is Tuesday, and we're taping this. And on Wednesday, with the first day of practice tomorrow, he will get his first run with the Niners. And hopefully, he should suit up week 6 and against Cleveland, but it won't be on like a big basis. It'll be limited snaps for sure.
Yeah, and you kind of want to ease him in. He's 31 years old. He's older.
Correct.
I mean, he hasn't been playing great ball with Denver, but who knows why that could have been. To try to drag out a trade with that. You never know that stuff, but I'm excited to see him. The Niners had to let Kerry Hyder go. He's picked up by Houston. D'Amico Ryans, obviously very familiar with him. So we wish him well. That's a player I've always really liked on the Niners. Good depth piece.
Yeah, D'Amico gets him now, a guy he's very familiar with, obviously getting Jimmy Ward as well from the Niners and free agency. We forget about Kerry Hyder because he's, you know, a rotational guy, but Kerry Hyder in 2020 led the team in sacks, a big part of their run in 2022, the championship game. Whenever you needed a guy to come up crucial or come up big, Kerry Hyder is one of those guys on the depth. And so they're going to miss him. They wanted to bring him back on the practice squad. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. He is going to Houston. Maybe he finds his way back later. Maybe it's similar to Elam Manning when he got cut by the Cardinals.
How about that? Elam Manning. He just jumped around and got him back. People are excited about it. So
look, no one else can get talent out of these guys like Chris Kocurek and the Niners. I don't get it. There's definitely talent with them, but they don't seem to click anywhere else but with the Niners. I guess it's the coaching. I guess I'm in the water.
Well, you mentioned Illman. You mentioned the line. I texted you during the game because I'm watching the game.
Yes.
And I see Feliciano in there.
Yes.
And I'm like, what happened? I didn't hear anything or see anything about that. I must have missed something. So I sent a quick text to my insider good friend Emil here while he's at the game
in the press box.
Yeah. So Aaron Banks goes out with a bicep injury.
we thought bicep injury. We have an update on that. It is a mild shoulder strain. So luckily it is not lower forearm, upper arm. It is upper arm near his shoulder, which is very, very good because it was a lower upper arm injury that could be a torn bicep, be out for the year.
Lower upper arm injury. That's some doctor talk.
Right, it really there. Is. I don't know the correct term. I can just tell you what it is by seeing it. So
my bias is coming through so much during this show. And I guess it's fine.
That's why you're here.
I'm just so happy to talk about this. I'm legit so happy.
Like, you seem at peace.
I mean, I'm not at peace. I'm ready for war. I'm happy. I'm happy to be at war here.
I love this.
To be winning this war.
But Feliciano.
Yeah, he goes out. So I noticed Feliciano's in after the touchdown. I think it was one of Kittle's touchdowns or whatever, but I think it's a good sign. I was talking to Jason Ross about this yesterday morning, and I didn't even know he went in. So that's a good sign that it was quiet. It was quiet. You didn't recognize there was a big issue.
Yes.
All quiet on the Western front.
It's why they signed Feliciano to a 1-year deal in the offseason, right? They wanted a nice rotational guy to fill in the swing guard this time. Instead of a swing tackle, they have a swing guard. Last year it was Brunskill, and it was other guys behind him with Burfert. Now they have Feliciano, who has played center and guard for the New York Giants in years past, and is a decent player. Now, is he with the potential of Aaron Banks, who's been very, very good the last year and a half? No. But is he a solid guy to throw in there and spot? Yes, he is. And thankfully, he was able to come back from concussion protocol in time to do this. And so if Banks misses, he's day-to-day, Banks is, for the rest of this week. If he misses this week's game, it shouldn't be a big deal. He'll be fine. He'll come back week 7. But Feliciano can fill in there and I think do a pretty good job next to Trent Williams and next to Jake Brendel at center. I think there really isn't too much drop-off, and that's a great thing. Depth.
Yeah, I'm impressed with how he's been playing. I remember when they signed him, you were pretty high on Feliciano. The O-line is playing extremely well for the Niners. It's something we've talked about every week, pretty much. Colton McKivitz, not an issue. That right side of the line has been very solid.
Yes.
I mean, a trade still could be coming for something like that for a cleanup. We really don't know all this cap space because – if you don't know, this $41 million can roll over into next year, and it's going to get a little dicey with signing Ayuk, with, you know,
Hafanga,
Brock. Yeah.
But Brock's got two more years before they even start this conversation.
Yeah. So
that's the beauty of this, is that they are not having to pay Brock until after the 24 season.
24 is when they can negotiate.
Thank you.
Yeah. You can start negotiating after 3 years.
Correct. Thank you. Thank you, Kyle. So that's the beauty of this, is that you're paying your starting quarterback less than $1 million a year. So because of that, you can load up everywhere else around the roster. And that's the beauty of it, is that their starting quarterback is getting paid not even like a backup. He's getting paid like a seventh round rookie, which is basically what he is. But he's playing like a first round prospect. And that's the beauty of this whole thing, is that with Brock Purdy being successful and being where he's at, Niners can keep loading up everywhere. And that's why they have all the opportunities that they have right now.
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
It's not fair, and I love
it. It's one of those teams that make you wonder, isn't there a salary cap?
Yeah.
That's how this feels with the Niners. It's just how it feels.
Yeah, the Saints were always like $100 million over the cap and somehow would figure it out. I'm like, how does this work?
They added Derek Carr this year. It made no sense.
The Rams were my big enigma when it came to salary cap. It just made me believe that it's not real. Yeah. So I still don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But before we get to the break here in a second, we got to go through some records. Niners obviously tying the franchise record win streak. Purdy now 10-0 as a regular season starter. McCaffrey on the verge of some big records, obviously. Which one do you think is the most likely to happen, Nate?
McCaffrey.
You don't think the Niners break their franchise record this week?
I think they do. It really, I mean, this defense they're going up against is good.
Yeah.
We're going to preview them here in a second. Yeah. But you know what? I'll give my rundown in the next segment.
Okay,
I'll give a little tease for that.
Awesome. Well, coming up after the break, Niners, Cowboys, a road test for the 49ers. We got a 2-week stint. Possibly, could this be where they slip up? I don't know. It's possible, though. They got to see the Cleveland Browns. We'll be back after this. Return to the Empire. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Sacktown Sports.
All right. Hi, YouTube people. We're back.
YouTube.
Hi, YouTubers.
Any questions, please throw them our way. Please harass us.
Yeah, like Nate on that ride.
Yeah, you got violated,
those
bro.
Those bugs were disgusting. Got violated. Yeah, I did. Those bugs, those should not be. That was so scary.
It sounded scary.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded actually scary.
I like the food at Nintendo Land. We got a chicken pesto burger. It was good. Yeah,
I love pesto.
I do too. I have I have some chicken pesto pasta. I'm gonna go home and eat when I get home. So
leftover night.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I made a big batch of it.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's gonna be really good.
I'm gonna get a burrito
from where?
Chipotle.
Yeah, you're big Chipotle.
I'm just gonna go eat more donuts downstairs. That's what I'm gonna do.
Kyle is fueled on donuts.
Yeah, I'm not big on those donuts downstairs.
I had dinner before.
I don't like the filled donuts. Give me a regular donut. Like, I like Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yeah, my comedy brain was working while I was downstairs. Like, it's so weird that they give you basically like injection needles in your donuts to like fill really it with jelly. It's so strange.
See, I'm not a scientist. I don't even be injecting things into my donuts. I can just give me a regular cop donut. I don't know.
A regular cop donut. You mean like the pink one? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
The pink one, the clay. I don't know. Give me a regular donut, man.
I'm a maple bar with a chocolate milk guy. That's like,
man, you are 10.
Yeah, I'm a 10.
You are literally a 10-year-old.
That is a 10-year-old dreams right there.
Dude, I'm a total loser.
I guess I can ask you later, but Emil and Nate too. What do you guys think about the whole Justin Jefferson thing with the Vikings?
They got to blow it up, right? Like, Kirk.
Trade him to the Jets.
It's too late.
Trade Kirk the Jets.
I thought you meant Justin Jefferson. Wow, that would be interesting.
No, Kirk.
Clean house.
It's just like Kirk. He's doing nothing. They're doing nothing there. They should. It's over, Minnesota. It's time.
Yeah, but it was
over.
Always over. Look, even last year was a sham.
Yeah, and everyone knew it. But it's not like you can trade him in the offseason this year because it's like, oh,
he's a free agent.
Yeah.
Get rid of Kirk.
But send him where?
To the Jets. The Jets will overpay.
They could have extended Jefferson this offseason and they didn't. That was so confusing.
Look, the Jets will have that first round pick because Aaron Rodgers isn't playing that.
They're not going to get a first round pick for Kirk Cousins.
Oh, you don't think?
I think they will.
Maybe next year. Maybe next year's
first. If it comes with an extension, I think they will. Also, 15 seconds.
Yeah. No,
it's interesting.
Justin Jefferson's never leaving. They have too much franchise power.
I don't
power
know why they didn't extend him. It's so
because strange. They're cheap.
I guess that's dumb.
Like most owners.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
They're going to give it. No, it's a play action. Purdy going to roll left, throw for the end zone. Caught by George Kittle. He has the hat trick tonight, a career high. 3 touchdown catches for George. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Numero 3 para George Kittle on Sunday Night Football. Number 3 touchdown, the first time in his. You like that, Nate? You little giggle there. Just
a little Spanglish.
A little Spanglish there. Yeah. Come on now. It's Texas. Cowboy. You got a little Spanglish when you talk about Texas.
He's got a little cowboy hangover from the weekend. Yeehaw.
Return to the Empire, Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter on the ones and twos. And, man, George Kittle, it's kind of amazing he didn't have a 3-touchdown game before this week. But here we are, 3 touchdowns for George Kittle, a guy who coming off a 1-catch effort against the Cardinals was fantastic and did not at all look like he missed a step despite turning 30 this Monday. Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah, he was on celebrity birthdays.
He was.
Yeah. That's a little shocking. He hasn't had a 3 burger, but he was due. So he was due. It was a little birthday present, I think, from Brock Purdy.
Oh, yeah.
And George deserved it. But I really do want to get into this Cleveland preview. I am fascinated by this matchup. So Niners are going into Cleveland, and I believe they'll stay over in on the East Coast, the East Side, because they have Monday night matchup with Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Could be a really good game. Well, no, Justin Jefferson, actually. So
Who knows?
Who knows what you're going to get from them? But they've been playing all their games close, and they did last year. They just happened to win them. Right now, the spread, if you're looking at like Caesars, DraftKings, Niners, money line, they're favored by like minus like 230, minus 250, depending on who you look at.
Yeah.
That seems kind of low. Especially with all this Deshaun Watson kind of questions going on right now. And DTR looked bad.
They're not starting DTR.
Oh yeah, they're going to start PJ.
They're going to start PJ Walker, which I think we all remember, I believe, was coached by Steve Wilks on the Panthers. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun.
XFL guy too.
I thought PJ Walker was on the Bears. What happened there?
PJ Walker's been bouncing around since the XFL.
Yeah, he was at week two. He was on the Bears. I don't know how he ended up on the Browns.
Because the Browns needed a quarterback because they Kellen Munn's not good either. So
yeah, he. I thought he was going to be. I thought Kellen Munn was going to be the guy to replace. Kirk in Minnesota.
That was never good.
I kind of thought they were feeding. They were trying.
Come on.
No, I kind of thought they were grooming him to be the next guy. It just did not work. It didn't work. I was wrong. I'm emotional. I'm wrong. I don't think straight. I'm irrational.
Cleveland.
Cleveland. I kind of thought, even with Deshaun Watson playing, that this Niners team would be favored more than they are now. I do. I just think they're so hot, and I know they're favored by they opened at -3, but now it's -5.5. So
yeah,
you can kind of see where the money's going.
Well, the problem, and this hasn't been talked about, because the Niners are a really good team when the weather's good, but leading into this game soon,
I did not know that
it's going to be raining pretty much the entire week in Cleveland.
Okay.
Except for Wednesday. I'm looking at the forecast right now, and Sunday's saying 50% chance of rain, 18-mile-an-hour winds, a lot of humidity. Saturday is full-on rain, some scattered showers on Sunday. If it's a wet, wet field, things change. Things change a little bit.
Yeah, and Cleveland's defense is statistically elite right now. They've only played four games, but still, they are in yards per game. That's still a mean average. Mm-hmm. They are number one in the NFL. They're allowing under 200 yards per game, 196.8.
They're good.
The Niners are at number three at 266.8, and number two is Baltimore at 266.4. So that's a large gap.
Yeah.
That's a very large gap.
It is.
Points per game, the Niners are number one, and Cleveland, I believe, is number two.
Yes.
Niners 13.6, Cleveland at 15. Last week, Dallas was number one. Mm-hmm. They have dropped too far down. Seven now. They're at seven. Yikes. Averaging 16.6 points a game, giving up.
Take that, Dak.
Yeah, so it's a two good defenses going at each other.
Yeah.
And I feel like that Niners defense still is not at full potential yet.
No.
With all the all pros everywhere, all the Pro Bowlers everywhere. But I'm very excited to see the Niners play a tough defense like this.
I am too, and I think the Niners are going to still win this game, but I think it could be more of a defensive battle like we're hoping with Niners-Dallas. I think they're just better in terms of like defensively. I think that the Browns are just better than Dallas is defensively. I don't know what it is, but Jeff Schwartz is an incredible defensive mind.
Yeah.
Or Jim, is it Jim Schwartz?
Jim Schwartz.
Thank you, Jim Schwartz. Thank you.
You're thinking of Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, I combined Fisher and Schwartz. Yeah.
Not a defensive mind.
No, but Jim Schwartz.
An interesting mind.
An interesting mind for sure. But Jim Schwartz, that dude can coach. He is a very good coordinator. I don't know why someone just let the Browns have him, because Kevin Stefanski is also a good coach. It's just getting the quarterback situation right.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen? And despite not having Nick Chubb for the rest of the season, which hopefully prayers up to him. Hopefully he comes back and is still the same guy. But they're still really good. They're still really talented. And while the offense is kind of slugged along, and I think it could still do that under PJ Walker, the defense is going to keep them in this game probably.
Do you still think the Deshaun Watson contract is the worst contract in the NFL?
No, the Russell Wilson one is.
Okay.
Okay. I don't think that's close. Look, I get Deshaun's contract is terrible. It's fully guaranteed. I understand. Deshaun has not played like the all-pro that he was in Houston for various reasons. Russell Wilson, they willingly gave him money despite being bad in Seattle. Willingly gave him money.
Yeah, I think they may have saw it as a fluke. I think it was kind of an Aaron Rodgers situation where he had like the one down year, but they're like, this was nothing, but we didn't get to see Aaron play this year. So I was very curious to see Aaron Rodgers on field play. I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan. Actually, I'm wearing a Chico shirt.
Chico.
Where me and Aaron Rodgers are both from.
Hey, you're from Chico?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I'm learning new things about Nate every day.
Yeah, I'm from Chico. I'm sure I've told you that before.
You probably have.
But this is a place Aaron Rodgers helped vote the best bar in America, Barstool Sports. So
that's
Aaron
awesome.
Rodgers is a Chico guy. Shout out Chico. Shout out Aaron Rodgers.
Shout out Chico.
Yeah, that's a little accidental plug there.
plugging Chico on the podcast.
Well, the place. I didn't say the name, but yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, I kind of hope the Niners play Deshaun Watson this week just to see.
Do you think I'll ask you this question. Is Deshaun Watson with a rotator cuff contusion to his throwing shoulder a better option for the Browns than PJ Walker?
Yes.
It's tough, isn't it?
Listen, I don't dislike PJ Walker, but if he plays the Niners, I think he's going to get crushed. Yeah. I don't think it's close. Yeah. But who knows? You never know. It's like last year Stidham torched the Niners.
He did.
So you never know, game. But this team is just rolling.
Rolling.
And I mean, I don't know. The -230 or -250 for money line seems a little egregious right now. That seems a little low.
Then you should take it then. I'm just saying.
Well, I don't bet 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, we don't do that. But I'm just saying, I get it. But it's a game on the road against an AFC North opponent, which is always a tough game, regardless of who you're playing. I get they destroyed the Steelers, but I think we're learning over the course of the year that Matt Canada is trying to get fired, and the offense is just terrible in Pittsburgh. Yeah. The Browns offense, while yes, it's PJ Walker possibly playing and Deshaun Watson hurt, I think maybe it's still better than the Steelers offense.
Yeah, I think you're right. That Steelers offense is horrendous. It just doesn't make sense. Pickett does not look good. Hit that bomb to Pickens.
Yes.
But it wasn't anything like, I don't know, whatever. Steelers, we beat them. That's over. They scored 7 on the Niners. Doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
Cleveland, I'm really not expecting a lot of them. I'm more excited to watch the offense go against the defense. See kind of where CMC's at after a rough game. Physically, for sure. I mean, yeah. He didn't put up big numbers, but still won by 32.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a callback to what Richard Sherman said to Skip Bayless this week. He had a little clap back on him, which was nice.
Oh, gosh.
I think CMC bounced back game for sure, and I definitely think he gets a touchdown. I think he's going to break that streak.
I think it's very much possible.
Yeah.
Look, just going through Cleveland, the injury stuff. Obviously, Deshaun Watson is questionable with that rotator cuff contusion. Joel Bitonio, their star left guard, is also questionable. Center Ethan Pochick is also questionable. Miles Garrett is also questionable going into this week. All are probably expected to play. I haven't seen them miss time yet, and they have a really good offensive line, so it's possible. And Jerome Ford is also a good running back. They got Kareem Hunt still there. So there are definitely pieces around them that they can make it a game, but I just don't see it. Look, their best cornerback is Denzel Ward. He's a very good corner. Their second best is Greg Newsome. He's a solid corner. I think the Niners' skill players are just better. And this is kind of what you can say about every other opponent, it feels like. The Niners are just better. They have more talent. And I think that's kind of where we're at.
On paper.
On paper.
On paper, right? So, and that's not how the NFL works. But, yeah, it's fun to look at on paper and just go, okay, they got him here, whatever.
Yeah.
But how does it make you feel that Cleveland is coming off a bye?
It's definitely maybe the reason why that line is a little bit less. It's a little bit more favored towards Cleveland because they're coming off that bye. They got 2 weeks to prepare. That's a big deal. I don't know if it helps the Browns as much, though, this early on in the season, like we were talking about earlier, compared to, like, say, a week 10 bye and they're playing in week 11.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when they can really rest up.
Yeah.
The team is still kind of fresh. They kind of want to play a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Niners are in a better position because they're rolling so much right now. They're hot. The Browns aren't as hot.
This is like the theory of it's almost better not to get the bye week in the playoffs. Some people say that round one bye.
Yeah.
Because it slows your team down.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going so hard, there's times where, you know, you rest all your players in the final week of the season and then you get a bye. And then now you're playing one of the hardest teams in the league.
Yeah.
So you're not on your stuff.
Yes.
This could be a similar situation. But, yeah, like you just said, if it was a week 11 bye and they're playing week 12, I think it'd be more impactful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important for Deshaun. I think all this could be smoke screens too. I think that's a possibility. You know, the injury's there, but it's not as big of a deal as everyone thinks, or it's worse than everyone thinks.
It's very possible. And look, if it's Deshaun, if it's PJ, if it's DTR, which it probably isn't. But if it's any one of those guys, I just, this Niners defense is going to have their way with them if they can get in the backfield. And it's like every week they're going to get in the backfield, right? I'm just trying to come up with ways of like, how can Cleveland win this game? Cleveland can win this game by controlling the clock.
Yeah. They can't really win the game offensively.
No,
right.
Keep it away from the offense.
Why are they moving from DTR? Just because he was bad?
He was terrible.
Yeah. So that's the only reason.
He was
so like, just no horrible. Confidence in him.
No.
It's just PJ. No injury, nothing.
They need a win. And they're like, we're going to give the experienced guy this.
Yeah,
like they saw in DTR, like they lost to the Ravens really badly. 28-3. It was not good. DTR had three picks. It was bad.
Yeah, it's bad, but they don't. It's not a situation where they want to let him play and they want to, you know, develop him. They want to win now, and they feel
especially considering that the AFC North is the league leaders are the Steelers and the Ravens at 3-2. The Browns are 2-2.
It's a brutal division too.
Like it's going to be one of those
seem to be getting back on track
back and forth divisions.
Yeah,
every win counts here, right? Yeah. So you got to put your best foot forward, whether that you think that's going to be your future quarterback or not.
Yeah, the Steelers are just not good in their first place in that division.
Correct.
Doesn't make any sense.
Because the Ravens are the Chargers now too. So
yeah, it's got to be so infuriating to be a Raven fan.
Yeah.
It's I actually do have a friend who's a Raven fan.
As do I.
Upset.
He's giving up. I'm beside myself. I have Lamar on my fantasy team, and what the heck's going on, dude? Lamar, play with that money. Come on now.
Yeah, well, his receivers can't catch.
The
drops are insane. Nelson in Aguilar Baltimore.
Dropping catches is just a testament to time.
I just can't explain how they lost that game. Just they were like 20 points better than Pittsburgh.
Zay Flowers dropping ball. It's crazy.
And I'm a big Zay Flowers guy.
Yeah, and I thought he was the answer there.
I did too.
OBJ is nothing.
Who thought that? And then now he's hurt. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I know.
The Steelers are 9-4 in their last 13 games, and they're just not good.
They're not good.
I don't understand how they're doing that.
It's their offense. It's their offense is not good.
Yes.
I think their defense is good.
Their defense hasn't been good. Going into that game last week, they were like 29th in rushing defense and 26th in passing.
But Joey Porter Jr., their rookie corner, is one of the best corners in the NFL and has been playing right now. He's been really good.
Their defense has been really good. Games.
Like, I think a 93 PFF rating, I think, is what I saw for this guy. Like, the Steelers are definitely good. And it's what makes the AFC North so interesting is they're so competitive. And it just switches every single week of this team looks hot.
Yeah.
This team looks hot. Heck, the Bengals could win the whole thing. They could win the whole AFC North and have the second or third, spot in the playoffs. It's possible. And they've been terrible for half the games this year.
Well, it's like every year that division is so fun to watch.
Yeah.
That division is a bloodbath every year. It's great. Yeah, Cleveland does need to win. They're gonna be desperate, but
they need this.
What do you do? You just roll out PJ Walker if Deshaun can't go, or do you really push Deshaun to go?
They're going to push Deshaun to go.
Yeah.
But I think if they're already saying, because I'm hearing the reports, if PJ Walker is going to start if Deshaun can't go, that's never a great sign on Tuesday when that's coming out.
Does the thought come across your mind if you're Cleveland? Just be like, all right, maybe we just kind of get healthy this week. We get back on track. This game is very, very tough, even if we're at 100%. Do we just kind of, keep Deshaun on the sideline, get it? He's our best chance to win. He's our best chance to make the playoffs in a very tough division. Do we kind of get everyone back on track here and just kind of see what we can do against the Niners? Or, do we force him out there against a game we're already probably set to lose? Like,
this is a throwaway game for you thinking, for them?
Well, I think there's a thought, the thought should cross your mind.
Because maybe. They do play the Colts the week after.
Yeah, which is a very winnable game.
The first place Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, gosh.
And we don't know what.
AFC Swamp.
Up, yeah, what's up with Anthony Richardson?
He has a AC joint sprain.
Yeah, he's going to be out like a month.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they can definitely still win with Gardner.
Minshew mania, baby.
Yeah, Minshew mania. I always thought he kind of got disrespected. I always thought people focused on the mustache too much, which is easy to do. It's a good-looking mustache.
Well, this week's a revenge game. It's Colts at Jaguars. Two first-place teams.
Let me tell you, man, if I could watch that game, ooh, I have a lot. That would make me so happy. That game sounds like so much fun. Are you kidding me?
It's going to be disgusting, but I think the Colts are actually good.
They have talent. They definitely have talent. Now that Jonathan Taylor's back, too, they definitely have some talent.
If the Jaguars slip up, they could beat him.
Well, Zach Moss looked insane. He looked so good last week. So kind of showed out for the Colts. But we got to give a prediction.
Anyways, this is a Niners podcast. We're talking too much about the other teams. Let's stick to the Niners. Nate, prediction for Niners Browns. What are you thinking?
Man, I'm thinking, Niners score 30 every day, every game. So I'm going to go 32-14. Oh, man. If it's
If it's PJ Walker, man, it might even be. I'm going to go 32-10. I'm going to go big one for the Niners. I'm going to go big one. I'm sorry. I have to.
I don't care who's at quarterback. If it's a Sean Watson with one arm or if it's PJ Walker playing against his old coach, Steve Wilks, 24-10 is what I have it as.
Yeah, we got 42-6 in the chat.
Yeah, I look.
Who is that saying that? I can't read that from here.
Herrick. I don't know. It's a username.
Well, shout out.
Shout out.
Shout out Matt Glore to Zach Moss over JT, huh? Yeah, you think Zach Moss is better than JT? You're out of your mind. Anyways, Niners, big win, I'm saying.
Yeah, look, they're going to break the record. They're going to break the franchise record and have the most wins, regular season wins in history. And it's going to be a big deal for them. It's going to be a culmination of this is a lot of hard work and a great thing, and they get to celebrate for a second and then move right on to Minnesota on Monday night. And that's kind of what this team is about. It's not about them. It's about us.
Yep, they get that extra day, too, Monday night. You know, I want to ask you real quick before we go, where they're staying in between?
I do not. I'm going to figure that out this week when I go down there.
Interesting. A tease for next week.
I'll let you know that. And of course, Return to the Empire. Milt Fragoso, Nate Littlefield. We will be back next Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to talk about the Cleveland Browns game. Will it be a win? Will it be the first loss of the Niners of the year? We'll find out next week. But until then, everyone, stay tuned. Stay well. Check out the content, SacktownSports.com. We will see ya.
All right, we're clear.
Wonderful. YouTube chat. Appreciate you guys. Hacks. That's what it was. Hacks. Appreciate you.
Matt, you're crazy. Zach Moss is not better than JT. He had one game. Bring back Gruden, too. You're out of your mind. Jeez. Bring him back where?
Real quick, while we're talking about Jonathan Taylor, do you guys know the weird story about the whale and how that ended up leading to Jonathan Taylor's contract?
No.
Why have I feel like I've heard of this.
Educate me.
Yeah, so there was this whale at the Miami Seaquarium named Lolita who they were going to, like, release back into the wild, but, like, in, like, a large, like, open water, like, space. It wouldn't have been, like, totally back into the wild, but, like, sure, larger space. And Jim Irsay was going to pay, like, out of his pocket $15 million to fund this project. And then the whale died. And so people are suspecting that they took that $50 million and paid Jonathan Taylor his signing bonus.
Interesting.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's excellent. That's just, man.
That's a fascinating story.
I don't know how I'd feel if I'm JT is, hey man, we're going to give this money to a whale. Yeah. Nope. Okay. It was you instead.
The whale died. But it was funny because it was the people had deduced like the signing bonus for Taylor was like 5 million more than the money that was going to go to that
whale. He died for a good cause. But one more thing, Matt in the chat, you should have listened to the crossover, Matt.
Yeah,
Brock Purdy. I definitely said, I'm 90% sure I said Brock Purdy's better than Jimmy G.
Brock Purdy is definitely better than Jimmy
G. This Brock Purdy is better than Jimmy G, I think, ever was, no even pre-ACL.
Tell your colleague FMK, George Kittle, CMC, Frank. Who's FMK?
I don't know.
Matt, you know, you're out of your mind.
And Brock,
you're out of your mind.
That's the coach. That is the assistant varsity coach over at Del Campo.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Basketball coach.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Del Campo.
Or is it? No, is he? No, he's a teacher at El Camino.
It's D.C.
I know, but that's also where he went to high school.
Oh.
So Matt's over at, D.C. right now.
Shout out, Matt. Yeah.
Shout out, Matt.
Appreciate you, man.
Good for you, Matt. Yeah.
Good for you, Matt. We're all real proud of you over here.
We are.
Yes. Sports. And your Brock Purdy is better than Jimmy Garoppolo and worse than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between.
Yep, somewhere in between.
T-shirt Rio, Merrick.
T-shirt Rio.
Shout out you, Matt. Appreciate you giving back to the community. And we'll be back next week, same time.
We love teachers.
We love teachers.
My mom's a teacher.
Pay the whales, save the teachers.
Pay the whales, save the teachers.
Bang!
High school basketball, all of it.
We'll be back next week, y'all. Appreciate it. Bye.